We are in the Beatitudes. We have been for a number of weeks. And the Beatitudes are not randomly constructed. That is, they are not randomly paired, the blessing with the attitude, as it were. When we look at the Beatitudes and we think about what's... Now I've lost. There it goes. When we look at this, these are things that go together. Last week we looked at the pure in heart, seeing God. Well, in the Old Testament, the idea of seeing God was closely tied to your purity. You could not see God because of your sin. So it makes sense, of course, that the pure in heart, the blessing that they would receive, is seeing God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Well, of course, those who mourn, the thing that they need above all else is comfort. Those go together naturally. We think about the meek shall inherit the earth. Well, the idea, the very concept of meekness was that you are not exercising whatever right or power or privilege that you possess. So, of course, you're going to inherit it. The word inherit itself means that you did not take it, you did not grasp it, but it was given to you. Only the meek, by definition, can inherit. This week, it is no different. These things go together. It's not just random. Blessed are the peacemakers, Matthew 5, 9, for they shall be called sons of God. This beatitude, the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. What does it mean to be a peacemaker? Now, the very literal definition of the word, to make peace, is to bring into harmony two or more parties. Could be peacemaker between three or four or five people. To bring into harmony again. It is closely tied to the concept, that is, of reconciliation. You see that word a lot in Scripture. And in fact, these two words, peace and reconciliation, are often used together in the same context. The idea to restore the relationship, to bring into harmony once again. And these ideas, there are several ways to do this. There are a number of ways to do this. But we see the best way possible, the best example of peacemaking is who? Who was the greatest peacemaker? Wasn't that, of course, Jesus? In Ephesians 2, 13 through 17, the reading that was read for us. And as we go through this, I'm going to bold some parts. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace who has made us both one. We were different. We were separate. We were apart, right, is what he's talking about. This idea of making peace is bringing us back together, making us both one. Has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace. Unity, harmony, where there was discord and disagreement, where there was separation, making peace by doing what? Breaking down the wall of hostility, and might reconcile us both to God in making one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to those who were afar off, and peace to those who were near. This idea of reconciliation. What is he talking about here? That we all in this room, and all people throughout history, were separated far off from God. We were in discord, we were in disagreement. Now, who was, of course, God did not have any wrongdoing. That was all our undoing, but our undoing had made a gulf between us. The idea of being a peacemaker, a reconciler, is bringing together, which Jesus did how? Through the cross. We read in Colossians 1, 19 through 23, in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. What's interesting about, we're going to pause here, what's interesting about the peacemaker aspect of Jesus is that the act by which he made peace was not itself a peaceful act, was it? This idea of through the blood of the cross was not peaceful. That was as violent and as discordant, as separate as you can get. This was not itself a peaceful act, and yet it was something that resulted in peace. And you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death. Again, emphasizing the idea that the peacemaking act was not pleasant for Jesus. It was not something enjoyable. It was not something that he probably liked doing. Though the end result was great, the end result was something to be desired, the act of the peacemaking was uncomfortable. was difficult, was painful, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. What we see in the example of Christ is that peacemakers put peace above their own desires. Did Jesus want to go to the cross? No. Father, if it is your will, let this cup pass from me. As he was sorrowful unto death, sweating drops of blood. Yet the act of making peace, the concept of peace, was something that was worthwhile the pain. That it was put above what he himself wanted. That it was put above his own comfort, his own needs. That he made peace a priority. To be a peacemaker, peace must be your priority. You must put peace above your own desires. Now, it's interesting as you read through these verses, this peace was not unconditional, was it? That's not what I'm saying. Don't misunderstand me. As we read the rest of these verses, what does it say? If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope. That it was a conditional peace, but indeed it was. And so when I say you have to put peace above your own desires, I'm not saying put peace above the standard of God. I'm saying put peace above your own anger. Peace above your unwillingness to forgive. Peace above whatever right you may possess against the person that has created a separation. Put peace above yourself. You've got to be humble to be a peacemaker. This is why Jesus proclaims this particular blessing. And I said this, the blessing goes with the beatitude. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. As we see this beatitude, this blessing, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Why this particular blessing? How does it go with this particular attitude? Other places in Scripture, this word for son could be applied to men or women. You could be called a child of God. And indeed, in other places, this word in some translations is son or daughter or child, sort of a gender neutral because of the way the Greek works. But here there is a specific, very specific emulation going on. The translation sons of God in this passage is, I think, particularly apt. Why? To be a peacemaker is to follow in the steps of the Son of God. You shall be called sons of God like Jesus himself was the Son of God. Because it is Jesus who ultimately was the peacemaker. The one who brought peace where there previously was none. The one who took two or more parties and brought them together back into harmony and unity. That is who we emulate when we desire to be a peacemaker. 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 21, this transition from the peacemaking of Christ into our own lives, and this is from God who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. What is Paul saying here? Christ was a reconciler. He was a peacemaker. And because of that, we ourselves are to be reconcilers and peacemakers. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God. The primary job of the peacemaker, and this cannot be stressed enough, the primary job of the peacemaker is to facilitate peace between the created and the creator. The Beatitude is talking about an emulation of Jesus. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God, like the Son of God himself was a peacemaker. And the thing that Jesus did to make peace more than anything else was to take those who were separate from God and bring them to God. There's a lot of ways to make peace. There's a lot of different arguments and strife in the world. There's a lot of different discord and disharmony. There's a lot of reasons why people are separate from one another, and we need to work on that, right? We need to bring people together with other people. We need to resolve conflicts in our groups. But the number one thing of the peacemaker is to strive to bring peace between God and those who are lost, to bring them back into harmony with Him. Is that unconditional peace? No, of course not. We've already talked about that. But that is what we are striving to do as peacemakers. So what practical qualities or actions, then, does a peacemaker demonstrate? And as we talk about these qualities or actions, these are things that will apply to the whole gamut of peacemaking. Making peace between spouses, making peace between friends, making peace between members of this family. This idea of taking a situation that has discord or disharmony and bringing it back into unity and peace. What are the practical qualities, then, of a peacemaker? 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 through 22. I'm going to read this, then I'm going to go through some things in it. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you and esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. We urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good, and abstain from every form of evil. A couple of things out of here that I want to talk about. Be patient with them all. There are a number of things that would lead to discord and strife. Patience is a key quality of a peacemaker. One who does not just simply write off the circumstances as lost at the first moment of conflict. One who is willing to endure and to bear with the conflict, to try to make it better over time. Peacemaking, most of the time, does not just happen overnight. It is a process that may take days or months or even years. A peacemaker is patient with people. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil. A peacemaker lets things go. A peacemaker is willing to overlook the wrong. Isn't that one of the qualities of love? That it suffers long? When we think about not repaying evil for evil, we want vengeance, we want justice, we want fairness, we want retribution. That quality is the antithesis of the peacemaker. The peacemaker does not seek vengeance. The peacemaker does not seek retribution. The peacemaker, like what Jesus did, puts peace above their own desires. Even if that desire is that that person be punished for their wrongdoing. The peacemaker makes peace a priority above the desire for retribution. Seek to do good to one another. The peacemaker looks for opportunities to make peace. It's interesting what he says here. Seek to do good for one another. What is he saying? Look for those opportunities. Be intentional about it. Don't just be like, well, if I happen to find an opportunity to make peace, I'll do that, but I'm not going to go out of my way to find those. A peacemaker looks for the opportunities where he can bring people together or she can bring people back into harmony. It's intentional. It's something we look for. It's something we desire. A peacemaker is not so just by accident, but it is intentional. Do not quench the Spirit. A peacemaker looks to God for help. You ever thought about this? I don't know if this is your talent. There's a number of talents. Some people are better at being peacemakers than others. You say that's true? Some people are just better at it. It's like any other skill, right? Peacemaking is a skill. Bringing people together is a skill. You may have that gift of the Spirit. The Spirit may have given you that particular skill or talent above and beyond what other people have. A peacemaker looks inside him or herself or herself and says, am I good at this? And if I am, I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. This idea of not quenching the Spirit. Ah, that's uncomfortable, that's difficult, I'm not going to do it. Ah, that makes me feel awkward, I'm not going to deal with that conflict. Oh, that makes me feel bad, I don't want to deal with these people. When we do that, we are quenching the Spirit who may have given you specifically the ability, to reconcile people to each other, to reconcile people to God. Romans 12, 14 through 21. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. Are you seeing some similarities in these passages? That's intentional. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals upon his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Some things that stand out to me in this verse. Bless those who persecute you. We're going to see this a number of times throughout this verse. But let me reemphasize again. A peacemaker does not seek vengeance. A peacemaker puts peace as the highest priority. Bless those who persecute you. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. A peacemaker has empathy. You know what the difference between sympathy and empathy is, right? Sympathy, I feel sorry for you, but I don't really understand what you're going through. A peacemaker strives to have empathy, to understand and perhaps feel the same things that the other person is feeling, to the best of their ability to put themselves in the other person's shoes. A peacemaker strives to understand on an instinctual, emotional level why the other person is feeling the way that they are. What is causing the conflict? What is causing the strife? What has happened that has caused the rift between parties? A peacemaker strives to be empathetic with people. A peacemaker, do not be haughty, puts aside their pride. Pride, and we've talked about this in 5 of the 7 Beatitudes. Pride will get in the way of all of these things. A peacemaker is willing to be humble, to put themselves lower than the other person, to not be haughty or prideful or arrogant, but to recognize that, yes, maybe you have some faults as well. Maybe you've contributed to the conflict. A peacemaker must be willing to recognize their own faults. Repay no one evil for evil. Are you seeing a theme here? I hope you are, because I'm really going for this theme. Repay no one evil for evil. As so far as it depends on you, live it peaceably with all. The peacemaker understands that there are some conflicts that will not be resolved. But the peacemaker also understands that no matter what the conflict is, I'm going to do whatever it is that I can to help it be resolved. Are some people just never going to accept reconciliation? Sure. There are some people who don't want to be reconciled. There are some people who thrive on conflict. Have you ever known somebody like that? They just like the conflict. They want to be in conflict. They want to be in strife. They don't want to have peace because maybe there's a number of reasons. Maybe they wouldn't have anything to complain about if we got rid of the conflict. Maybe they wouldn't have a reason to talk bad about this other person if we got rid of the conflict. So the question is not, are you resolving the situation? Are you bringing peace? Because there's some times where that's not going to happen. The question is, have you done all that you can to bring peace? This applies to evangelism just as much, right? This idea of bringing peace between those who are lost with their Creator, this idea of reconciling them. Are there people who are not going to respond to the gospel? Sure there are. People who have no desire to have a relationship with God. God does not ask you to be successful 100% of the time because God knows that that's an impossible standard. God asks you in every situation, have you done all that you can do? Isn't that Christ himself, what Christ did? Christ's sacrifice did not automatically mean that everybody became a Christian, but Christ's sacrifice was him doing all that he could do to make peace. There are still some who are going to reject that awesome gift. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The peacemaker does not let themselves be dragged into the mire, so to speak. Because there's people who will try to just make everything a conflict and make everything difficult and make everything about strife. The peacemaker, to the best of their ability, will strive to remain above that, to take the high road, as it were, to do what is right even when the other person is not. Let's sum all these up again. Peacemakers, the quality of peacemakers. One, peacemakers make the first move. If you want peace, you might have to do something about it. Have you ever thought about that? Things are not just going to get magically better just by themselves. The peacemaker, the one who emulates Christ, makes the first move to resolve conflict, makes the first move to make things better. Stop waiting for the other person. That's not what Jesus did. Did Jesus wait for you to respond before making his sacrifice? Did Jesus wait for people to seek God to do what was necessary for them to have reconciliation? Jesus made the first move, and so should you. Peacemakers let go of wrongs. I would say this very strongly. If you are not willing to forgive, you will not have peace. Let me say that again. If you are not willing to forgive, you will never have peace. Peacemakers are willing to let go of the wrongs, to let things go. Peacemakers strive to be empathetic. Have you ever thought about this is one of the things that Jesus did in his quest to be a peacemaker? Jesus, as the ultimate peacemaker, why come and be a human? It was to fulfill this, to understand, to have a high priest who is able to empathize with our weaknesses, a high priest who knows what it's like to be a human. He is empathetic as a peacemaker. Peacemakers strive to understand the other person. Peacemakers try to be humble. It's going to be difficult sometimes, of course. But peacemakers try to put the other person above themselves. Peacemakers make peace a priority, and they use God's standard instead of their own. This is an important concept. Peacemakers, if you're trying to make peace between the lost and God, if you're trying to make peace between brothers and sisters in Christ, you can't just make up your own standard. You've got to use God's. Don't make it about you. Never make it about you. When you're trying to resolve conflict between a brother or sister who has fallen from God, who has fallen away from the church, who is not doing what God wants, don't make it about you. It's not that you've sinned against me. It's not that you've done something wrong to me. It's that you violated God's standard when you're trying to resolve conflict in your own personal relationships. Stop making it about you. Make it about what God has said to be righteous. Peacemakers use God's standard instead of their own. We'll end with James 3, 17 through 18. James 3, 17 and 18, an encouragement of a desire to be a peacemaker and what's going to result of that. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. Those are a lot of good qualities of peacemakers. Pure, trying to remove yourself from sin, trying to take your own sin out of the equation. Peaceable, gentle, meek, maybe it would be a good translation of that. Open to reason. Peacemakers don't just close their minds, I'm right, and whatever you say has nothing to do with it. Peacemakers try to understand the circumstance from all angles. They're open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. If you strive to be a peacemaker, your harvest will be righteousness. The promise is not that you will always have peace with everyone, because that's impossible. If you have peace with everyone in your lives, let me suggest this to you, you're doing something wrong. But the harvest of peace is what? Righteousness. That you will be truly called a son of God. That you will be emulating to the best of your ability, if you are a peacemaker, your Savior. The one who is the standard of righteousness, Jesus himself. That harvest is seen, number one, in our thoughts and emotions. The kind of people who are peacemakers, they don't have as much anxiety. They don't have as much angst. Why? Because they're, one thing, not holding on to grudges. Two, they know they've done all they can, so they don't feel guilt for not doing what God wants. There is a great mindset of peace that comes along with striving to make peace in your relationships with others. If you've done all that you can, you don't have to feel guilty. And if you've let go of the wrong, if you've striven to forgive, then you don't have the emotional baggage of that angst and that anger. It's seen in our relationships. Yes, people like to be around peacemakers. Who likes to be around conflict? Well, some people obviously do. But most people like to be around those who are peacemakers, those who make other people's lives better, who bring people together. You're going to see this harvest in our relationships. We're going to see it in our church family. Our worship's going to be better. Our service to others is going to be better. Our evangelism is going to be better. Our relationships with other people in the church, these are all going to be better if we all strive to be peacemakers. And we'll see it in our ability to withstand the forces of evil in the world. Satan's going to do a bunch of stuff to try to knock you off your game. He's going to do a bunch of stuff to try to make you down and feel depressed. But peacemakers, those who have striven to bring people together, they will have a better chance of withstanding what the devil does. Why? Because of these three previous things. They have better thoughts and peace in their hearts. They have better relationships. They have a stronger church family. What can the devil do to them? Ultimately, nothing. So the question is, are you a peacemaker?